continue in this series on the gift of faith. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We ask, O God, that you continue to shine your light upon our lives. And cause, O God, that we may know you in a deeper manner, that we may know your word, and that we may grow in the knowledge of your word. Establish us, O God, because we know, Lord, as Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, that without him, Lord, we can do nothing. But in him, he is the vine, and we are the branches, and we can bear much fruit. And teach us this position to be in all of our Christian life, Lord. Whether we be in the ministry or in the business or in whatever area, Father, teach us, O God, so that we are able to express your fullness in our life, your presence in our life. And Father, for all that you do in our lives, we do give you the praise, the worship, and the honor. We ask, O God, that you will establish your word in our lives. Let your word come into our lives. Let your word penetrate into our hearts and our beings. And cause that we may sense and know the ways of your spirit. Establish your work in our lives. Let your word be like a fire in our bones. Your word be like a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing our spirit and our soul, and searching the inner intents of our heart and mind. Thank you, Father God. Confirm your word with signs following. And for all that you do, Father, you deserve. And we do give you, Lord, the glory, the worship, and the honor. For it's in Jesus' name, Father, that we pray. And everyone say, Amen. So now is a fasting month, and we still got about 2 weeks for most of us to go. And during the next 2 weeks, remember to put all your heart into your fast, even though we're going to continue seeking God throughout the whole year. But it's in the fast that you could know that this is where you really present all your requests to God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And so press through in the fast. If you have been going in the fast, and know that great things can be done. The next 10 to 12 days or 14 days for most of you could be a great time, which could mean the difference in the next 10 years of your life, the next 20 or 30 years of your life. So it's good to seek God with all your heart, all your mind, soul, and strength. And that's why we are teaching on this series on the gift of faith, and in the second service, practical applications of faith. And we have extended the study of the book of Romans thoroughly on a Thursday too. And we did focus on the presence of Jesus in Friday night. And so as to help us strengthen ourselves in this time of fast, knowing that as your food diminishes, your spirit can be strengthened and stronger in the things of God. Well, let's look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And today we are going to talk about the process of hypostasis. And for that, we need to examine again the little Greek word that we have in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. We know that it is not our faith, but it is the faith of God that He deposited into us like a substance, a spiritual substance. And in Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And of course, the word substance is translated as a verb. And in the original, it's more like a participle. So it's like faith is a substantiating of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance here is from the Greek word hypostasis, and romanized as H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S, hypostasis, made from two Greek words. One is the word stasis, which means to stand firm. It's from the Greek word istami or stao, and there are two spellings for the Greek word. And that Greek word means to stand, to hold fast in a certain position. In a fixed position in God. And of course, that position is the Word. So it's like the Word of God coming into our lives and making us become like reinforced concrete. Reinforced concrete was an invention of the 20th century. Of course, they know about it from long ago, but it became more and more established, especially if they want to build tall buildings. And the reason tall buildings can be built is because of the simple discovery of reinforced concrete. And not just concrete. I mean, how tall can you build a building without reinforced concrete? Pretty long and pretty tall, but pretty heavy. The Empire State Building is actually built from old technology. And yet they could build it quite high with bricks and mortar. But to go higher even, and up to today's skyscraper, higher than Empire State Building, normal bricks and mortar was not enough. They need a new technology. And reinforced concrete is where they put steel rods into cement, and the cement covers it. And just the internal steel rods within and the inside and buried within the cement, it makes the cement be able to withstand greater forces than ever before. And there's a lot of pressure when you build a tall building. And today, we're talking about the process of hypostasis, which is all this little process of how the Word of God comes and become a part of us. We are like wet cement. And the Word of God is established into our lives, and then whatever part that is us is built around the Word. The Word becomes like the internal steel, reinforced steel bars within us, and as we build our lives around the Word, or our lives flow from the Word within us, we can withstand forces that we normally cannot withstand. And in fact, nowadays you got the cheaper bricks called cement bricks, not made from clay, but made from cement with nothing inside. And if you are strong enough, you could actually punch a hole inside with sufficient human kick or human force that is well trained. You could actually punch a hole right through those kind of walls. Whereas a brick wall, it might take several more punches. Not that easy. But cement is normally very weak, and we are normally very weak. But when you have reinforced concrete, which is actually cement plus the steel bars inside, you can keep punching it, and you might not get through, because there is an internal strength that is there, and the Word of God needs to come into our lives. Today we talk about the hypostasis, or the building of the gift of faith, and the substance of faith coming into our lives. It is just like building a house or building a building. When you build a house or a building, the first thing you do is the foundation. The foundation. Without a solid foundation, everything else may collapse. And so you need the foundation to be built. And while the foundation is being built, nothing is seen for some time. If you observe when they build the skyscrapers, sometimes, depend on the speed, of course, but on an average speed, the taller the skyscraper, the deeper the foundation. And the deeper the foundation, the longer it takes. And sometimes, when you look at a place where they're supposed to build a skyscraper, it might be 1 year before you see anything appear. And you're wondering, what have they been doing for 1 year? They've been building the foundation. And when you build the foundation, nothing can be seen yet. Just like faith and the substance of hypostasis of faith coming into our life. So it says faith is the hypostasis of things hoped for, of the evidence of things not seen. So faith is that substance. And sometimes when you read the Word, you meditate the Word, you believe the Word with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and you still see nothing yet. From point A, where you start believing and you heard the promises of God, to point B, when it manifests, you see nothing yet. That's because there is a process when the foundation is being laid. It needs to be laid into our lives. And there is a foundation, a time of building the foundation. And the bigger things that you believe, it might take a longer time. Just like building a tall, tall skyscraper. And of course, some things just flow right through. The foundation can be built very fast. In fact, you can build a normal house within a year. 6 months, I'm told, by some contractors. Once the blueprint is all there, you could build it in 6 months to a year. A simple house. But skyscraper might take longer. And so it depends on what we are believing God for. And some things that we are believing, you need to lay the foundation. And of course, the type of foundation you lay also depends on the type of ground. If you're building a house on sandy ground, nowadays you can do it, you got to put your own foundations in. If you're building a house on rocky ground, then the rock itself is good enough, so you don't need to do secondary things to build solid things. On sandy ground, they have to put piling inside. So the piling is like the rocks inside the sand. And in that manner, sometimes it takes longer. It depends on what kind of life we came from, how much doubt we have in our life, how much fear, how much emotional turmoil is in our life, how much unbelief, how much hurt, how much things in our life. So some of us are like sifting sand. Some of us, in fact, are like quicksand. You throw something inside, disappear. And you keep throwing the word, it keeps disappearing. And you say, when will it ever be filled? It is possible to fill a quicksand pit if you keep dumping things into it. Until one day it becomes solidified. Some of us, we had some sort of solid foundation. So it seems faster in our life. So don't look at another life and judge another life and say that if all of us are put through a factory where it's a standard amount of things done, standard methodology, will we all come out the same? No. It depends on the ground that we are and what type of ground that we have been in our soul and in our mental leaning or our mental default mode. And all these counts as a factor as the Word of God keeps coming. But one thing is for sure, for everyone, the same substance of faith needs to come. And that substance of faith needs to change and transform us. So from the foundation, we will have to move into what we call the structure. And recently there was a collapse, that was in Brazil, wasn't it, in the papers over the last 2 days, where some buildings collapsed. And most likely it will be an engineering fault where the building was not designed to withstand forces and it stood for some time, but it suddenly collapsed. And it could be a human error in design. There are always natural forces. And nowadays, when they build buildings like an earthquake zone, they have to earthquake-proof a building. So the building would be able to shake to a certain capacity before it can collapse. And so we got to prepare the structure to withstand forces and depend on what kind of forces that we are standing or withstanding upon. So the next area was is the structure. When you build the structure of a building, whether a simple house or a skyscraper, all you see is just the main parts that can withstand the force of wind and can withstand the force of gravity and can withstand the mass that is piled on top of it and that can withstand the pull and the force of mass and gravity pressing upon the ground. And so all this reinforced structure needs to be calculated. And when they build a house or they build a building, we see the structure taking place. And those two places are in the Word. Let me show that we have not gone far from the Word. Two things on the process of hypostasis. In fact, three. The first is what I call the foundation. And you have here in Hebrews chapter 6. The first process of hypostasis, and we have never thought on this area before. But the first process of hypostasis is called the foundation, or the Bible calls it the anchoring. The anchoring. He uses the word anchor in chapter 6 of Hebrews. Chapter 6 of Hebrews, it says here, and let's read from verse 11 onwards. 11 onwards, and the place that we want is verse 19. An anchor of the soul. But I'd like you to see the background from verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us. Now notice, it's all still talking about the same subject. Full assurance of hope, which is where verse 18 is still talking, to hold on to the hope set before us. And then verse 19, this hope, three times the word hope is used, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. That's the presence of God. So in the first process of hypostasis, we know that faith is the substance or substantiating, converting hope into a substance. And faith is also the evidence of things not seen. So faith is two things. You could split the definition into two. Faith is firstly a substance of things hoped for. And that's the first part that we're talking about, faith. And it is a substance of hope. Without hope, there is no faith. Because faith is a substance of hope. Without clay, there is no bricks. Without cement powder, you can't make cement bricks or pour cement into reinforced concrete structures. You need cement powder. And cement has to be manufactured somewhere and then distributed to the construction site. Or sometimes nowadays, the trucks carry mix already, which is why it's still turning to keep the cement wet. And so it has to be mixed and then brought forth. And hope is needed for faith to work. Little hope, little faith. And if you want to make bricks, you need lots of clay. Without clay, you can't make many bricks. And so the bigger the hope, the greater the potential to produce faith. And that's the first foundation, is full assurance or hope, or what we call anchoring into our soul. Anchoring into our soul. We all must be people who have great hope, who have a hope that is established from God's Word. The first thing that God's Word produces in our life is not faith, it's hope first. It says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But notice, the word is hearing, not just heard one time. Continual hearing of the word, a process of hearing. And so the first time you hear any promise of God, it actually produces hope first. And that hope, as you continue to hear, anchors into your soul. And as it anchors into your soul, sometimes it takes a long time to anchor. That's the illustration of a ship. When you have to park the ship somewhere, you throw down the anchor. And that anchor helps to prevent the ship from being tossed to and fro or float away by some waves. Because the anchor is supposed to be like a weight, some foundational thing that secure it. Of course, nowadays they also tie the ropes. They throw the anchor, tie the ropes. And that is in a very fluid situation like a ship. Is similar to a building. When you build a building, even though it is ground and sand and pebbles and rocks, the building actually still moves. And so you need some foundation to build upon that. But the anchor illustration is good enough for us. The first process is the foundation. Foundation. And we will talk about the how, but we are now defining it from the Bible. The second process is the definition of faith called faith is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. things that you could hold on that shows something else. For example, if you have a bank statement, that bank statement, banks seldom are wrong, once in a while they might be, that bank statement tells you how much you have in a bank. Whether it's printed out or it's given verbally to you when you go to the counter. So the bank statement is an evidence that you have that money in the bank. The title deed that you hold for your house, how do I know you own a house? You might be renting or you might be just putting up in a place, but you don't own the place. How do I know you own the place? What evidence? The evidence cannot be just you stay there, because a lot of people stay, and in other countries, maybe in some countries where there are a lot of squatters, the squatters go in, so they stay in there. Staying there doesn't mean they own the place. So what evidence? The title deed. The title deed that says, yes, you own the place, registered by the government, registered in the official office, and that title deed is the evidence that you own the place. And so, evidence is not the actual thing in itself. You might own some property, for example, in a country far, far away. Could be China, could be America, could be Israel, could be anywhere else. And you might not be there, you might not even be there. You could buy and sell without even being there. But you need official evidence. And of course, some scammers or con people will con you, and then if you believe them, and then you own a piece of property that is worthless because that paper has no authority. And you just got scammed or cheated. So that evidence is very important. So you send your lawyers, you send your people, and then you do your due diligence, and all these accountants and the lawyers and whatever else group of people, and then you check with the official government, and all these, they provide evidence that it is real, even though you haven't been there. All are pieces of paper for us today. Of course, nowadays you have digital copies too. But digital copies say, hey, is this authenticated? Does it have a certificate authentication or electronic authentication? And all these things. We need evidence. The evidence is not the actual thing, but the evidence is showing you your ownership or the reality that something actually exists. Somebody comes and say, hey, I own a castle in Germany. Evidence. Evidence. And so, the evidence is important. So, faith is also the evidence of things not seen. But evidence has to have some materiality to a certain extent for it to be handled. You might have digital evidence. Nowadays, people have digital footprints. You can delete your files, but you think that your hard disk is all empty, you've just deleted all your files and you clear your rubbish bin. But a digital inspector can come and go through everything and still find copies of the files still there in its digital format. And so there's evidence of the type of files that you had before you erase it. And that's why nowadays you see in the movies, they take a big magnet. Why the magnet resets everything and really completely removes the evidence. The evidence is very important. And the trail that we have, whether it be digital trail or paper trail, is the evidence that it is there. And now some evidence are easy to conceive. If I visit your house and I smell durian, then it's obvious somebody has eaten durian somewhere. That one evidence cannot escape. Right? And so if none of you ate, as far as I know now, you ate durians either there or you really wash your mouth properly. Right? But if someone ate durian and say, hello, hello! Oh my God, you just ate durian. You can even tell whether you ate durian 1 hour ago or maybe last night. But there is evidence. Some evidence are easy, some evidence are not easy. But there's evidence of things not seen. Now, evidence is like the framework. It is evident that a house is being built when you start seeing the structure. You know what is coming forth. And the foundation, you can't see it yet. And, but when it starts coming out, you begin to see the structure and all those things that are being formed. And so that is, it become a certain reality has taken place. And so we see here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it says here in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Notice the word, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word frame is interesting. The frame is like a steel structure or the structure of a building. The frame is like the DNA inside a living object. The DNA is the frame by which your whole body constructs itself. It is a little program. It might be tiny, but that tiny little structure, the DNA strand, tells your whole body what color hair you will have, what color eyes you will have, what color skin you will have, and some other basic things like whether you're a hairy person or you're not so hairy person, or whether you're thick eyebrows or thin eyebrows, or the slant of your eyes, whether you're big round eyes or slanted long eyes. And all this is in your DNA that is there. And then your natural body shape that is there, your natural tendency in your body, the size of your bones, the height of your body, all these things have a certain DNA. Of course, physical nature can affect it. Nutrition and other things, or lack of different things, can affect it to a certain extent. But otherwise, your DNA just keeps replicating itself and giving all the instruction to the rest of your body as to how your body is to be built up under normal conditions. So the DNA or the structure of any building is the framework. The framework by which everything else is built around. And that is a second process. It's the second process that needs to take place. That framework needs to be built, completed before it can replicate itself. If the DNA is not completed, then there's going to be defaults in your body. If a structure is not fully built properly, and they're in a hurry, they quickly do what I call the finishing touches, putting the walls up, doing the internal renovation, putting the lights and the switches and all those things and everything. If they could build everything nicely and the framework was not done properly, sooner or later, cracks will appear. And things will take place and the whole building might collapse under pressure. Because the framework was not structured properly. Framework is important, but framework is not the real thing yet. Nobody lives in a building that only has a framework. Why? You will go there, you can't turn on the electricity. Why? The switches are not all properly connected yet. You can't have water because the utilities are not completed yet. And everything is just not ready. You're still exposed to the elements to a certain extent. Nobody lives in a framework. They live in a completed house, but it's more comfortable. In the same way, sometimes you're believing God for something, you pass the foundation stage. When you pass the foundation stage, and there is a lot of assurance, you know that God has given this to you. But you're still somewhere between point A and point B. Point A is where you start believing, point B where it's manifest. Somewhere in between, and it's still not there yet. Remember, you're still walking in faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by the time you see it, you don't need faith. It's when you can't see it that you still need faith. So you're somewhere in between, and the frame is being built. You could feel the frames coming forth. What happened when the frame is being built? What does it feel like? What do we do in the area of the framework? Well, the framework that is being laid upon our lives are like the things that slowly affects us and change and transform us. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5 onwards. It says, therefore, when he came into the world, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. The word prepared is like the same Greek word here, kata tizo, which is the word frame. The word frame is kata tizo, and K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O. And so a body you have framed for me. A body God has prepared for Jesus. And it goes on to say in burnt offering sacrifices for sin and no pleasure. And it says, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written on me to do your will. So God Jesus desired to walk in God's will and to do that framework. Now, more things on that framework here. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, he goes on to talk about some of this framework happening. It is in verse 16. Verse 16. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart and in their minds, will write them. He says, I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawlessness deeds I will remember no more. So there is the writing of God's laws and the putting of God's laws in our hearts and in our minds. And those things, God continue to work into our life, to establish within our lives until we are fully transformed in it. And then look at verse 22. Finally, you come to verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now notice the second key word. Full assurance of faith. Just now the key word was full assurance of hope. Now you got full assurance of faith. That is, if there is full assurance, means you got half assurance, quarter assurance. Full assurance. That means your framework is completely completed. There is a fullness when. By faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And each time you believe God for something, the frame is being built. One at a time. It's just like how they lay the steel structure and layer by layer. Layer by layer. To do floor number 11, floor number 1 to 10 must be finished. And then they might lay the utility pipes and all those things and all the wires after you finish the main framework. And it goes layer upon layer until the whole frame is completed. It's important for the framework to reach its fullness. And God lays the frame. None of us want to see a baby who is born. Why can't babies survive when they're only 1 month old? Outside the womb. The frame is not finished yet. The DNA is there. But the frame that built around the DNA is not complete. And why can't babies survive when they are second month pregnancy and you take the baby out? Not ready yet. A lot of organs and tissues not functional yet. And I know that there have been cases of what I call by accident, they have early termination of pregnancy or a child comes out early. Baby has survived. But even when they come out, some of them need to be put in the artificial incubators where they would be monitored constantly for a child who is not reached his full term yet. And children have survived 8 months, maybe 7 months, maybe even though the full is 9 months. That's because it's sufficient framework, but still very weak, can die anytime. Under all medical conditions, they probably die. Under our modern technology, where they have created artificial incubators, then little children who are who come out whether by accident or by some reasons, the early termination of pregnancy, the little infant still can survive because our technology has created artificial incubators. But the whole situation is the framework. The organs, the tissues and cells all must be formed fully. That is why do not complain when some things take long. Because, number one, it could be the foundation being built. And that takes time. Number two, it could be the framework being done. And God will not allow you to give birth to something, for something to come out when it is still deformed, when the framework is not fully ready yet. And so the anchor time is full assurance of hope. The framework process, the second process of hypostasis is the framework. First is foundation, second is the framework. The framework is the full assurance of faith. That is the second process. Now, as the second process is completed, then only the real substance of faith is formed. It takes two processes. Two processes of hypostasis. You find both processes in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So those two processes are working side by side, and then only the real substance of faith, like pure gold, is forming until there's, that faith begins to bring you to the place where you can bring forth whatever God wants you. To illustrate that and to help you picture that in your mind, I've helped here. And let's pretend that this glass cup represents hope. Hope. And then... And this is a small little plastic container represents the what I call the framework that is there. So you need the full assurance of hope. You need the full assurance of faith. And then when it comes forth, then the biggest container is when the faith is full. So if this faith is full, then it slowly pours out, and as it pours out, then only the ground around is wet. Then only you begin to see in the visible realm. So for the time being, this is still in the invisible realm. Hope is not something you could feel, touch, or see with your natural hand. Hope is somewhere in our heart, somewhere in our mind, somewhere in our dreams, not tangible yet. And the evidence of things not seen, still invisible, but slightly more feelable because it affects you. It affects the way you think. It affects the way you talk. It affects the way you handle your actions. There is the full assurance of faith. If I have half assurance of faith, then half of the time I walk as if I have faith. But the other half I walk in unbelief. If I have quarter assurance of faith, then a quarter of the time I walk like I really believe it. Three quarters of the time I'm walking in fear. And it's all happening on my inside. But at the second level, fullness, full assurance of faith, it does affect me. You begin to feel it to a certain extent. You begin to feel the emotional impact of the gift of faith. Or the presence of fear. You can tell whether people have fear or not. They could feel it inside them. And they react differently when they walk in fear. And you can tell when someone is sad, someone is happy, someone is rejoicing, someone is feeling oppressed. These are things that a person feels on their inside. Because sometimes people try to deaden their feelings inside by drinking or other things, substance abuse. And but it's all on the inside. It affects a person's life. And so, at the second level, the small little plastic container represent fullness of full assurance of faith. Then when it passed this stage where it is full, it will move into this bigger plastic container, which is faith. Of course, you don't need that much faith, right? You say faith as a mustard seed, it's good enough. But pretend that this is a mustard seed size and we blow everything up just for the sake that we could look at it. And all you need is a mustard seed. Why? As long as it's a seed, it will start growing. So we don't need, in a sense, my illustration of the full framework and all that's complete in that sense. All you need is the DNA. Once the DNA is formed, there is a process that the DNA replicates itself into all the different things, but it still needs some framework because when a child is conceived, it is only one cell. Then that one cell multiplies into two, two into four, four into eight, eight to 16 by the Fibonacci numbers. And then it continues until it becomes a full-grown little infant inside with all the organs and the tissues all fully formed. But it's all from that one DNA. A seed of DNA needs to be formed. And so what happens is the seed of DNA needs to be formed. The moment it's formed and it starts dripping into this third area, which is called faith. Now, at the faith level, as it begins to fill up, the first drip is the seed, and then as it slowly forms, it is the other parts of the framework around the same DNA, until one day it starts coming out. It starts coming forth. Of course, it doesn't just drip when it comes out, it just comes out. It begins to appear in the natural, but outside is where reality is. Outside is where we can see, we can feel, we can touch, and it becomes point B, evidence. The evidence starts coming. You believe God for healing, healing starts taking place. You believe God for financial breakthrough, some financial breakthrough starts coming out. And you believe God for a blessing, then the blessing starts coming out. It becomes evidence. Now remember, stage one of hypostasis, still invisible. The hope. And here, they always fill a full glass, and this is good, let me empty it. Okay, that's about half full. So, my hope is half full. Obviously, I don't have full assurance of hope. My hope still needs to be built up. And my hope is within the framework that is there. The second process of hypostasis is fullness of faith, fullness of hope. The hope needs to be built up. And so you can see that at that moment, I still don't actually have faith yet. All I have is half hope. And so some people think that they have faith, but they got half hope. But they can't tell because you can't see on your inside. And so they got only half hope. And I'm going to use this for my little illustration stand so that I don't have to carry all these things. And so that's a half hope that is there. And even though I'm every day confessing the word, every day spending time with God praying, this represents God's word. And God's word comes into my heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I heard the word of God, and I heard it for 1 hour meditation. Okay, it's 1 hour meditation. You say, whoa, 1 hour meditation? How many more hours? Depends on your condition. Some people are quicksand. You throw in, also cannot see anything. Some people are like rocks. You put a pile of sand there, it remains there. And so it helps. He said, did I receive the word? Yes, I received. Did I have faith yet? Hey, it still hasn't come to faith yet. The process of hypostasis is not complete. Hypostasis has two processes. The first process is anchoring. It must anchor. The ship must park. and the word is not parked into your life yet. It hasn't taken root yet. And really remember the parable of the sower and the seed. Those that don't have root, what happened to them? They don't last. They don't last at all. So it cannot come forth in your life. And there's still no faith yet. And so there you are, and you came for all night prayer. Hallelujah. Ooh, all night prayer. Okay, all night prayer. And you say, wow, praise the Lord. I spent so many hours absorbing the substance of God. And not absorbing God's presence. And some things affects you. And so you say, wow, it's so much. But then, one all night prayer did not do it. Because you started with half hope. Say, what happened if a person start with no hope? Praise the Lord. And it takes a long while to go. But depends on which area, of course. The first thing you want to give a person is hope to live. So that might come very fast. But remember, in some areas, this is only one area. There are many areas. And in the second service, I will talk about how exercising faith for different things. You got faith for one thing, but not faith for another. The why is the question. Why? And it has to do with the hope inside each one of our life. In some areas, some of us have more hope than another area. You could dream about those areas, but you got zero dreams on another area. So you cannot exercise faith there. And this is just illustrating one area. In a human life, we are more complex than that. We are not amoeba, simple cell creatures. We're very complex creatures. We have 1,000 dreams, 1,000,000 dreams. We love 1,001 Arabian Nights. So we have 1,001 things to do in this life. It's not just that in life you only want to do one thing. You might have one primary goal, but you got a lot of other things. Surely your primary goal is not to earn a lot of money, right? Because if you achieve that, you still need to spend your money. So your other goals might be to use the money to have pleasure for yourself. So you got a lot of other things, supplementary goals. We humans are complex creatures. And so we have lots of dreams and lots of hopes. And you might main dreams, main hopes, whatever. But everything circles around that. And so you continue meditating on the word. You didn't give up. What happened if you gave up hope? Start all over again. Some people are that way. They get the word, good teaching, and then they nearly achieve some area to transform their life, then they enter into fear. And then there they are back again. And so could you imagine the process of doing that all over again? And they could be walking round and round the wilderness for 40 years. And they never get out of their situation because they're not steady. Which is why, as we learn the word, one of the things we need to know, we humans are creatures of methods and creatures of habit. In the end, even though we are not saved by works, we do need a devotional life and a systematic way in which you could progress. Something you could hold on. So that even though your dreams and your hopes haven't come to pass, at least you know one thing. You are always meditating on the word every day. Or you're always praying all night every Friday. At least you know, at least I have progressed. Minus all the other things you lose out on. And then if you retain all the energy of each time you do, slowly and steadily, you slowly fill up. And then you reach full assurance of hope. Oh, wonderful. And you thought, that's it. No, that's just one part. One part. One third, which is 33.333333333 infinity percent. And then one day you begin to pray, and then you pray, and it begins to flow out through you. Into the framework. Now the framework level, something feel different. You feel your mind thinking differently. And it is not at the conscious level. Remember how I say everything is happening on your inside, subconscious level. Somewhere on your inside, you begin to look at things differently. And before somebody asks you, you know, how do you think about this one? Before you say, well, I'm still trying. Then suddenly, some things change on your emotions. You see, at the framework level, it begins to affect your emotions and your mind. What did it say in Hebrews 11, verse 3? By faith, we understand. The word understand, that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word understand is from the standard Greek word, noio, which is from the root word nous. The word nous means to know. But it's a general word that covers knowing, inner knowing, conscious knowing, outward knowing, subconscious knowing, all the different levels of knowing. I believe since it is a matter of the heart and the inner man, it's an inner knowing. An inner subconscious knowing that is now very steady in your life. So on your inside, when someone asks you, where before you got lots of doubt, suddenly you find you don't seem to have doubt. And it's not because you psych yourself up with your conscious mind. It's a knowing that progresses from your heart outwards. Now let's look at the book of the process, and these two processes. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, these two processes flow with faith and a different Greek word. And those Greek words I've already mentioned before, so you'll be quite familiar with that. It's not a new Greek word that we introduce. Notice that in Hebrews chapter 6, we are talking about the full assurance of hope. Now, the full assurance of hope and things to do with hope starts from verse 11 of Hebrews 6 right up to verse 19. The whole context is about hope and the word of God affecting you. When it says God saw by himself, it's talking about the word. The word of God has two immutable power: God himself and his word. These two are the two immutable things. God saw by his own being and by his word. And so the whole thing is talking about the solidness of God's word. So we don't bother about that theology. Just remember, it's all about the word coming into our lives on the receiving end. So the word comes into our lives and it produces hope. God's kind of hope. And it says that in verse 11, we need the diligence for the full assurance of hope. Verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Because our soul is swaying to and fro. And what did the Bible say about the soul or the double-minded man? A double-minded man cannot receive anything from the Lord. Your mind is still unsettled. And so the double-minded there, you know, one day it is, the next day it is not. And so you're swaying, and your soul needs to be anchored in God. Founded, the foundation, and it's an inner part of our being. So this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and of course, it's all entering the veil. Why? It is not our faith. It is the gift of faith. And how this gift of faith is a process of hypostasis into us, becomes a substance in us. And then it says, of course, that between verse 11 and verse 19, it talks about faith and patience. So the first process of hypostasis, which is the full assurance of hope, involves faith and patience in verse 12. Says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. The word patience here is not the normal word for patience. This is one of the few places it is found. The normal word for patience is hupomone or hupomeno. And here is the Greek word makrotumia, which you all have heard before. Romanized as M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. Macro, talking about, you know, the big area. And then tumia is from the word thermos or tumos, which talk about heat of fire. And where we get the Greek word thermos flask. the English thermos flask, something to contain hot water. Of course, it can be used for cold too, but primarily it was invented for hot water. And that faith and this macrotumia. And to confirm that it's talking about the same thing, the word macrotumia occurred again in this passage, in verse 15. And he talked about Abraham. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, the word patiently endured is the word macrotumia. And macrotumia, talking about the word patience, is actually originally translated long-suffering. Long-suffering. And it's translated long-suffering in Romans 9:22, 2 Corinthians 6:6, and Ephesians 4:2. Also James 5:10. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Macrotumia. So we have expand and look at how other Greek words translate. Other translation of the same Greek word. So macrotumia occurs several times. But only here in Hebrews 6 is it translated patient. Why didn't they translate it as long-suffering? What would happen if we are consistent with all the other translations of long-suffering? Then it will be here reading like this in verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and long-suffering inherit the promises of God. And then verse 15. And so after he, that is Abraham, had long-suffered, he obtained the promise. So we never imagine long-suffering going with faith. Because most of the time, people who exercise faith, they got short-suffering. I believe, I confess, I possess. Very short-suffering. Any delay, cannot tolerate. Long-suffering and faith. What is long-suffering and how do we suffer long? Love. Because long-suffering is an attribute of love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love suffers long. And long-suffering is among the fruit of the Spirit. And we have taught on the fruit of the Spirit how every other fruit was a derivation of the one before it. Starts with love. And Galatians 5 verse 6, it says that love, faith is energized by love. In the English translation, neither circumcision nor circumcision avail much, but faith which works by love. But the actual Greek word work is the word energes. So we translate it as energize. Faith energized by love. So there you have, faith is actually energized by love. The first process of hypostasis to help us into what we call the full assurance of hope. That first process is faith and love working together. Now you know why Mark chapter 11 verse 23, 24 needs 25 and 26. If you do not forgive, Mark 11, 23, 24 doesn't work for you. For Mark 11, 23, 24 to work, verse 25, 26 must be there. He said, if you have anything, you must forgive. Because forgiveness flows from love. Without love, faith cannot. So before we know it generally, all of you know the scripture. Now today, you know the technical aspects. How it actually takes place in you. Because when love doesn't work, hope cannot work. It is love that keeps your hope warm. It is love that keeps your hope strong. Your love for the Lord, your love for others, your love for your dreams. It is that love that must increase and energize faith. So macrotumia is that love that is always steadfast and steady and never giving up. And we all know there are many stories in human life Also, they make it from in the movies, in plays, in books. They write about love. How for, of course, they talk about human love, you know, besides God love. But how even for human love, humans will go a long way. And sometimes love for country, people will sacrifice their life. Soldiers sacrifice their life for the country. How for the love of different things, people will pay dearly. And indeed, it is love that helps us suffer long. So the first work of the full assurance of hope that can come is that our love must grow in line with the Word. And as the Word comes into our life, the more you love the Lord, the more you love the Word, the more you love people, the whole process, as you know, the whole process of love somehow builds your hope. It builds your hope. And as your hope is built and built, it enters into the framework and it overflows. And then you enter the second process. Once you have complete the first process, and your hope can never anymore be emptied. Once you reach a full assurance of hope, your soul is anchored. Your soul is parked in God's Word. Nothing in heaven and earth could destroy that hope or dream anymore. And even like Abraham, it says in Romans 4, Abraham in the natural lose all hope. But he says against hope, he hoped because there was an inner hope that was born from the Word. And heaven and earth can pass away, but the Word does not pass away. And the hope that is built on the Word cannot pass away, even though heaven and earth pass away. Through fire, through storm, through difficulty, through everything else. What have you been through in your life when you believe God for something? So sometimes when you start believing God for some things, things doesn't seem to go your way yet. So you thought that point A to point B is a straight line. We always illustrate. From point A to point B, you exercise your faith. My friends, point A to point B is not a straight line. To build your love, God might take you down and then up. And down is very hard. But your love grows. God might take you to the left, where you enter into a place where it's all dark. And then you come forth, but you got more love. Somehow with you, when you started believing God for something, you say, I start believing, things start getting better. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Seems to get worse. Outwardly, it seems to get worse. But inwardly, it actually got stronger. Because no one can see what was happening inside. Now, when they start building a tall building, doesn't it get worse before it gets better? How horrible is it when they build a tall building? They start digging the ground. The ground that formerly might have been a nice patch of grass. A nice field you could play football on. Now they want to build a tall building. The first thing they do is they destroy the ground. And if you walk too near, you fall down. You might get injured in the place. And all the horrible dirt that they dig out. And they're dragging it all out. And look at all the places, all dirty. Lorries coming and going. Trucks coming with cement. And it's noisy. And it's terrible. And it looks horrible. And if you take a picture of the place, it looks worse than it was before. But it was laying the foundation. Love is being built in your life. Your love is being tested. Love that is not tested has not grown. Love must be tested. How do we know whether it suffer long until you suffer? Look at the word. It says long suffering. It includes the word suffering. So for the first time in the Bible, you have faith and suffering. Well, many people got the wrong concept of faith. Faith without suffering. Faith is a bed of roses without thorns. Faith is flying on the cloud without thunderstorm until reality hit. The clouds do have thunderstorm and they have air pockets inside, and roses do have thorns. And so they realize that faith needs to suffer long to endure. He says, Abraham patiently endured, and his faith was tested. Now we know, technically, when the faith was tested, it was the full assurance of hope and love being tested, and he hold on, and he hold on, and he hold on. Because God really wants to know whether you really want what you believe. Whether you really would pay the price for what you want. How much you're willing to give up in order to get what you want from God. God wants to see whether your heart is full or you're just half-hearted. And so from point A to point B, you've gone through several areas. And we cannot, unfortunately, we cannot put like a little microscope inside us to look at our level of faith or hope. That one is the unseen realm. But now we know technically what is happening. It's anchoring into your soul and it's growing until your soul remains permanently in full assurance of hope. As far as that's concerned, you always have hope. Never wavering. And that hope never waver. Something you could hold on to. And then you could build, it begins to build on the second area called the full assurance of faith. Now, what does the full assurance of faith involve? The second area of hypostasis. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, let's look at the context where it talks about full assurance of faith, and that is in chapter 10. Says here, and as we look at chapter 10, just remember where we have progressed. In Hebrews 6, we have reached where we call the presence behind the veil. Look at verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enter the presence behind the veil. Second veil, that is. We enter into the presence of God. Now, chapter 10, we are already in the veil. It says, therefore, in verse 19, therefore, brethren, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, and you already entered the veil, he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now that hope is no more inside, you're speaking about it. It's the confession and speaking of your hope. For he who promised is faithful. Now the context talk about God writing his laws into our hearts and our minds. They are intricate things. Our mind is a complex thing. As I mentioned, there are doubts in the heart and doubts in the mind. And the two are separate. You sometimes can have doubts in your mind that does not affect your heart. That's fine. Like Abraham, when God spoke, 99 years old, after 25 years of walking with God, he started at 75 when he obeyed God. So about 25 years, God spoke to him and said, Abraham, by this time next year, your wife will have a child. He laughed. Ha! And it was a laugh of slight doubtfulness. He said, how can it be? But his heart really believed. Because within a moment, he's worshipping God. So in his heart was already established. And he knew it, that God can do it. His mind still is boggled. And the outward mind can boggle and wonder. But the inward mind has a sure assurance. So the mind is a complex instrument. And the complexity of the mind is sometimes like, during the framework time, And of course, they need to follow the blueprint to make sure all the open areas, they are there. Laying down the framework is not easy because the cement framework is one thing. Then you need to lay down the piping for the building. And then you need to lay down the electrical wirings. And then nowadays, you also need to lay down the fiber optic cables for internet or whatever wires that are necessary, the RJ45 cables or whatever to do the internet. And then what else do they know? Telephone wires. And then what other communication that they may have or invent in the future? All those things need to be laid down, ready, so that when they do the fixture, they will just come and just do the switch there for each place. The main cables have to be laid. That's a very tedious job. Not very easy. And each of those little cables represent a flow of thoughts or pattern. Because the mind is a complex thing. There is like a utility cabling within our mind, a default mode of thinking. There is a conscious mind. As you know, there's so many Greek words for mind. All different, there's a visual part of our mind, analytical part of our mind, a feeling part of our mind. As you know, our brain got different sectors. And if you electrically stimulate different parts of your brain, there's a part that connects to your physical body. And there's a part that connects to your visual area. And then there's your cerebral cortex that talks about, where you ponder about your actions before you do things, which is not very developed in a young teenager. And so all these different parts of your mind, all these are like different utility cables being laid down. And God is changing them. And slowly, as God feels, one day, it overflows too. So the framework is complete. But for the framework to be complete, it takes time. And you're meditating on the word, hope, and then from hope it converts into evidence. The evidence of things not seen. And the framework, you begin to feel it. Suddenly, you're not so emotional about something, you're more at rest. There's a peace, there's a joy in those areas. And one of the first results is, you stop worrying. You stop being fearful. Now, fear is not something in your conscious mind alone. You know, if it's a conscious mind alone, you could deal with it easily. Fear is very subconscious. So are the fruit of the Spirit. It's deep within your heart and deep within the Spirit. That is why it talks about the cleansing of the heart that is there. It says, the heart is a true heart. Every part of your heart, the reins of your heart is tuned. And your heart is sprinkled from an evil conscience. You say, what in the world is an evil conscience? This is found in verse 22. What is an evil conscience? An evil conscience is a part of the conscience where by habit, by default, and even sometimes by wrong cultures, we are doing something that is wrong, but we don't know it that it's wrong. Because we're so used to doing it, a wrong way of thinking, a wrong way of feeling, and we thought that's normal because we think that's uniquely us. But that's, compared to God's word, not supposed to be normal. What is normal? We compare ourselves to the word. And so our thinking is changing, our framework is changing. God is, in Hebrews chapter 10, writing His laws in our heart and in our mind. And have you noticed in chapter 8 and chapter 10 of Hebrews, it talks about, God said, this is a new covenant. I will make with them. Remember, the new covenant is through the deposit of the gift of faith. We do something because it is the faith that brings us forth. And that process involves our heart and our mind. In chapter 8 and chapter 10, it says, this is the new covenant. I will put my laws in their mind, write them upon their heart. Chapter 10, I will put my laws in their heart and write them on the mind. So both process, do you notice it's reverse? In chapter 8 and chapter 10, there is a difference. One talks about putting the laws in the mind and writing the laws in the heart. The other put about putting the laws in the heart and writing the laws in their mind. Doesn't it talk about connection between the two? Spiritual connection. It's like the utility cables being laid. You see, when the purpose of the utility cables is the cable don't end there. What's the point of doing a cabling inside the structure, but it never connect to the power outside? The reason for the internal cabling is that finally there's one connection to the main power, and that power supplies the whole building. The reason for the internet connection is so that finally it connects to the external fiber optic cable that connects to the ISP provider, that connects internationally to the underground cables all over the world, that goes all over the world, and you're connected to the whole world. So the connection needs to be made. The heart and the mind is double connected. One right, one right. One put, and it's connected. We are connected to the heart and connected to the spirit. It's happening. Your mind is connected to the spirit, where before it might not. So some thoughts flow from your spirit. Your emotions, which is part of your soul, connected now. At first it was anchor, now it's connection. Right, so all the internal framework, the key is framework is being laid. Because for the framework to be laid, everything that God has for us has to flow through our spirit, through our soul, through our body. It's in our spirit. That's all right. But it needs to flow through our soul. So a framework needs to flow through our soul. A highway has to build through our soul. Have God ever done any miracles in the whole Bible without a man, without a word, without an action being done? Never. Always something has to be spoken. You know, when I analyze all the miracles of Jesus to look for a common denominator, each time for the miracles that are recorded in detail, his methods differ, but there's one thing common. He said something. He says, "I will be healed." Or to the crowds, he would preach the sermon or speak the word, and they believed the word and they came. The woman who come and touch him, Mark chapter 5, it was her action, not his, but she heard. So there was the word going forth. There was one common denominator. The word was delivered. What about Elijah when he did all his signs and wonders? He has to say something or do something for the miracle to come forth. And Elisha, the same thing. It takes a human vessel to say, to do. And it is important to God. And it's so important for a miracle to take place sometimes that God would zip the mouth of Zechariah to prevent him from stopping the miracle. Because faith still needs confession, believing, visualizing, action. And it says, if you say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea." Notice saying. And you believe what you say. Now, it's not just confession. The confession has to flow deep from the spirit and the heart. It's not just a confession with your conscious mind. It's something that flows deep from your heart. Something that you say, "I know this is going to take place." And outwardly, it might look impossible. But somewhere on your inside, you know it's done. You know it's done. Like, for example, I know before, you know, definitely before finish my life ministry, there will be the realization of the white building that I saw in the 1990s. I was taken up, and I saw a huge white building with three domes. Looked like a big, huge mega church in Lugazi land. I do not know which country it was. But on my right, I heard a voice that says, one, that time I was in Malaysia, says, "One New Zealand dollar equals to 3 Malaysian." Now, I know that's going to happen. You ask me to doubt, I can't even doubt it. Because something is so sealed inside. And I've meditated on it for too many decades to even doubt it. But I know that that's going to happen. That's going to take place. And the white building and whatever it symbolizes. And so there are some things that got sealed right inside. And then when it's inside, when you talk about it, you never talk about it with one atom of doubt. you know that you know that you know. But there are some things that we speak about that are still not secure yet. Perhaps God spoke something into your life. God gave you a dream. God gave you a hope. And where is your level of hope? First process of hypostasis or second process of hypostasis, the framework is being laid. And the framework is all layer by layer, line upon line, precept upon precept. When they lay the cables and all that, it's one cable at a time. They have to tediously check and look at everything. If they try to do a slipshod job, something breaks down, it's very hard to go back to it. Easier when you first lay it and it's brand new. And you do a proper job that will last as long as the building is supposed to last. And so it's harder to get into it if you do it too late. Now, the second process that is there in Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10, talk about the heart and the mind, it continues on here in chapter, we talk about the having our being washed with from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. And then it says here in chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The second process of hypostasis involves faith and hypomone. The word here, run the race with endurance, in some of your translations, run the race with patience, is a different word for patience. It's a normal word for patience, which is the word hypomeno. H-U-P-O-M-E-N-O. Hypomeno. Meno comes from the word abide, to stay firm in. Of course, the framework can be laid because the foundation is already laid. So it's already laid on solid ground. But the framework that is being laid is linked. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. The first word is the word therefore, which means the verses before that are important. What was he talking about in verse 40? He says here in verse 39 and 40, Hebrews 11. All these have obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Now, that process, second process of hypostasis, is the framework. That framework is the word perfection. The word frame comes from the Greek word kata tizo. And that is a verb. And the noun form is katathesis. The noun has been translated as perfection. It is a word translated perfection in 2 Corinthians 13:9 and Ephesians 4 verse 12. Look at Ephesians 4:12. The one is katathesmos, which is a derivation too. In Ephesians 4 verse 12, it talks about the perfection of the church. Ephesians 4 verse 12. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And in some translations, Old King James, for the perfecting of the church. Modern translation, equipping. So the framework is equipping or perfecting the framework. Remember how I illustrate about a little child or fetus in a womb. That fetus must grow to perfect stage before it's birthed out. So it needs a certain physical perfection. It might be tiny, but every organ and tissue must be fully formed. Fully formed or fully framed. In the same manner, that second process of hypostasis is the framework that needs to be fully formed. So some things must be fully formed inside of us. It is the word becoming solidified in our soul. The Bible calls that the word becoming flesh. By flesh, It talks about how it becoming more and more visible to our lives. The word becomes flesh. And there is a little Greek word that, if you're interested, we just run through very carefully here. That hypostasis is the word from hupo and stasis. And the word stasis comes from the Greek word stao. Stao, or the Greek has a different form of it called istemi. And all you need to know is that word means to stand. So hypostasis is the word. We are under the word. The word is being applied into us. The word is standing within us. It's not us, but the word itself. The word stand is all over in the Bible. The beginnings of faith actually has the word stand in the book of Romans chapter 5. In verse 2, it says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we stand. And that's a Greek word, para, parastimao, or paras, from the word the parastao, the root word, parastanos. Remember the word stanos is from istemi, or from the word stao. So paraistemi or parastao, that's the root word. You check any Greek concordance, any Greek study will bring the word stand to the word stao. It will lead you to that. That word is also used in chapter 6 of Romans, where we are standing in Christ. And it says here, in chapter 12, chapter 6, looking at verse 13. It says here, and do not yield or present your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but present your body. Now that present is the word parastimi or parastao, parastano, which is a root word to stand. Translated as yield. So yield doesn't mean surrender alone. Yield means to yield to God's word in your life. And it's not you and I standing, but the word standing us. Again, the picture of reinforced concrete. We can stand like a tall building against the wind, against earthquake, against storms, because the steel structure of the word is in us. And it occurs again several times. Wherever it says yield or present yourself. And then you see the development, it changes into Ephesians 6, that having done all, we stand. And this time against the devil. And it's a different Greek word. It's like anti-stao, we stand against the enemy. So you notice the process. Same Greek word stao or istemi. In the process of hypostasis, it is a hypostasis. But when it starts, it is para-stao, hypostao, anti-stao. Anti means going against. It starts with alongside. The word para is where we get the word parallel. Parallel means it's alongside. So the word is alongside. We're confessing the word. Confessing the word. But what's the use of a framework being alongside? When you go to a construction site, sometimes, depending on where they mix the cement, if they mix the cement on the side, when the materials first come, they will have the steel bars. And then next to it, if they mix the cement on the same place, will be bags and bags of cement. So the cement and the steel bar are side by side. It's still not good enough. You got the materials, but the materials must be mixed together. Not any old how mixing. Right? You cannot just simply pour on the steel structure. Why? The steel structure must be tied up. And it's a lot of work. You see those workers and workmen, they climb on top and they use the tiny little wires, the welding to tie and join the steel frame first. Then they build a wooden box to contain the cement that is to be poured in. So it's intricate work. At each place they got to tie, and on the flooring too, they got to tie the steel wires in the right place. It must be a certain formation. Then when all is ready, they build the wooden things around it, and then they pour the wet cement in. And the wet cement hardens, and then it's there. If they do it on the spot, Now, if you got what you call a prefabricated material, they do the same thing except they do it in a factory. And then they join the big pieces together like Lego pieces. But it's all done in the factory. The process of the steel mixing with the wet cement. So you have the word which we stand on, standing on the word, stao. You have parastao, the word coming to you. And then as the word mix, who must win? You win or the word? The word win. Like wrestling match. You're wrestling. And the word wrestles in your life. You know, the word says this, your fear says that. The word says this, your emotion says that. So there's a wrestling that's happening. A wrestling happening. And in the end, somebody has to win. You win. Finish. The word win. And the word is over you. Hupo stao, which becomes hupo stasis. And the word wins in your life. The framework is laid. See, sometimes when you pull the frame up and build the frame up, your mind says, cannot, and push it away. So unlike the structure that is built without hindrance, but what happens if you add an opposition force? Secret people who are anti-building. So the workmen put the frame up. The next night they say the frame disappeared. Why? At night, the people came, tore down the frame. So they keep building it. The same way, the second process of forming the frame is not so easy if your emotions recede, your mind recedes, and your actions recede. The word of God. The word tells you something, you keep flowing the wrong direction. You keep letting yourself be under the word. And so it's a wrestling game, you and the word. God write his laws in your heart, you took it out. God write his laws in your mind, you took it out. God put his laws in your mind, you push it out. And so it's a ding-dong thing all the time. And so many of us, we try to walk by faith, but you're not walking by faith. You're playing a ping-pong game with God. With the word. You know? You know, God passed the ball to you. You ping, got pong, you ping, got pong. And in the end, nothing happens. 40 years in the wilderness. Until you yield your mind to God, you yield your emotions to God, and you say, God, I surrender all. I will just let you have your way and let God's doctrine and teaching change your life. You begin to see things in a different way, believe things in a different way, and your understanding becomes whole. The Bible also calls it full assurance of understanding. Colossians 2 verse 2, chapter 2 verse 2 has that verse. Full assurance of understanding. Which is full assurance of faith. When you reach full assurance of faith, like we show in the second level, full assurance of faith, the more God's words pour into you, the more it flows out into the substance of faith. And that's how the faith increase in your life. Having looked at this study on the hypostasis of faith, let us be encouraged. To allow, faith is not something outwardly. People think faith is I confess, I possess. What you see, hear people confess, what you see people do, is only the tip of the iceberg. A lot of times people are confessing, but inside are doubting. No power. Sometimes people are doing, but they're doing because somebody told them or they convinced themselves mentally that they should do it. But inwardly, there's no inner knowing and confession, nor any understanding. So it's very shallow. But the confession and the action, when it is built like an iceberg, and more of it is underneath, supporting what is outside, even if the Titanic comes, iceberg versus Titanic, who win? History has shown you who won. When you have a big iceberg come, and Satan is the Titanic, doesn't affect you. He can throw every missile at you, every man-made object, every man-made thinking, every man-made doctrine. If there's anyone to sing, let it be the devil and not you. So our faith is anchored on a conscience trained in God. The word evil conscience tells you your conscience has to be trained, because evil conscience is opposite from good conscience, which says that something within us is untrained, has to be retrained unto full assurance of faith. and we can move on in the Lord. Now, all these things are very complex. You say, okay, what do I do now? You cannot do anything about the framework directly. You cannot do anything about the gift of faith outwardly, because there's something on your inside. It's just like, you know, let's pretend, you know, if you're not fasting and you went out and ate chicken or meat or whatever else. So some of you broke your fast and you went for your Chinese New Year dinner. So Eddie, this year you didn't have your roast pork, right? It's very hard to cook. So, but he ate a lot. He ate chicken wings, I presume. Chicken wings and roast pork for some of you, or char siu. In fact, he was looking for his favorite wonton noodle, but I don't know whether he went. And all these other things that you eat. Now, whatever you eat, how is it converted into your cells? Right? It's a complex process. You and I don't worry about it. We just know that it goes through the process of digestion and then through our small intestine and it's drawn out and then somehow it goes into a part of us where the blood takes it finally and then it distributes through our body and then our individual cells absorb it. It becomes part of our cells. Complex process. We have broke down the complex process to two main processes of hypostasis. We don't have to worry what's happening, but we have to understand what is happening. It says by faith we understand and have fullness of understanding that what we have to do is every day just keep praying, keep meditating, keep confessing the word and keep building because it will have to keep flowing. And as you keep flowing and keep flowing and keep flowing, some of us say, my hope is full. My understanding is fully convinced. I have the full assurance of faith. But it's still not happening yet. Because you need to walk in that full assurance of faith till God's fullness of time to come forth. And then it comes forth in God's fullness of time. You have the results of the gift of faith working in our life. So we see that truly walking by faith is not our own faith. It is God's faith in us. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this process of faith that you help us to understand. And we ask, O God, that even as we grow in knowledge to understand the deep process of your word working in us, your word is working mightily within us, Lord. And we ask that your word be established in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise together. And I'd like you all to make this confession together. It's all from the Word of God. But let's make this confession. Normally we sing a song together. And says, I can do all things in Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. I have all the promises of God. And all the promises of God are yea and amen unto me. I am the seed of Abraham, and all the blessings of Abraham are upon my life through the Holy Spirit. I am blessing God. I am the head and not the tail. I am blessing the city. I am blessing the country. I am blessing my going forth. I am blessing my coming back. I'm blessed with all my hands and in all my works. All the fullness of Abraham's blessings are upon my life. I believe it. I understand it. I speak about it. When I wake up in the morning, when I rest at noon, nighttime, when I walk by the way, when I walk to the city, on my gates, on my doorpost, and on my life, the word is working mightily in my life. I and Jesus are one. The word is in me, and I in the word. Jesus is in me, and I am in Jesus. And I bear much fruit, for I abide in Jesus, and I bear much fruit, and I glorify God. I can do nothing without Jesus. But in Jesus, I can do all things. To Christ who strengthens me. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, release your blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord indeed keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace and favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a good clap offering. God bless you. Amen.